Bradley, tell me more about these magnets and how they were used and what they do.
Okay. Well, the magnets that we have used the most are made by a Japanese company called Nikken, a Japanese wellness company. And we've had great results using those. And for a long time, we thought that you could only use those magnets to release trapped emotions. And when I was writing the book, actually, in 2007, we started doing some research, actually, on that. And we found that any kind of a magnet will actually work for releasing trapped emotions. We still recommend the magnets that are made by Nikken because they're great for a lot of other things, like getting rid of discomfort and so on. But we found that you can even use a refrigerator magnet to release a trapped emotion. And basically, to release a trapped emotion, what you do is you simply run the magnet down along this particular meridian in the body. And the meridian is what we call the governing meridian. And it starts at the upper lip, and it goes over the nose and over the top of the head and down all the way to the tailbone. So there's a certain little process that you go through. You find the trapped emotion. You identify what it is and so on through getting answers from the subconscious mind. And then at that point, when the body's ready to release it, it just takes usually three swipes of the magnet down that meridian. And yet the results from that can be so, so dramatic sometimes. Now, oftentimes, trapped emotions, the results are not always as dramatic as the stories that I'm going to tell you tonight, okay? A lot of the time, trapped emotions are released, and we may not necessarily feel dramatically different at that moment. Sometimes we do, but I want to share with you a story that happened with my own family, with my son. When my son Rhett, I have twins that are now are 21, but when my son Rhett was about 4 years old, he got into this phase where he didn't want to have anything to do with me. He was still very close to my wife, but he called me bad doctor. And if I tried to be close to him, he would say, bad doctor, away, and he would swing at me, you know. And at first, everybody thought, oh, this is kind of funny, and it didn't go away, though. And it went on and on for about a year. And we didn't know what to do about this, but at the time, we were learning about these trapped emotions. And so I was sitting with my wife one evening, and I went to give him a hug, and he said, bad doctor, and he took a swing at me. And, I mean, he would have a real scowl on his face, and it just all of a sudden just really hurt, you know. And I started to tear up. And my wife said, hey, she said, maybe he has a trapped emotion. And at that point, we'd never actually tried working on any kids and just adults. And so I said, well, okay, maybe he does. And so we checked him, and sure enough, he did. He had a trapped emotion of grief. And that it wasn't his grief. It was actually that I had had some kind of grief about him, about something. And so we released that, and just, you know, it takes a few seconds to release it once you find it. And that little boy walked right over to me and put his arms around me for the first time in a year. And I can't tell you what an unforgettable moment that was. Well, the next day I went to my practice, and I was so excited about this. I was telling all my patients. And one of my patients said, you know, she said, I think maybe my daughter might have a trapped emotion. She said, my husband is an airline pilot, and he's gone for days and days at a time. And when he comes back, our little girl, who is, I think she was 5 or 6, she runs and hides and doesn't want to have anything to do with him, and it just breaks his heart. And I said, well, bring her in. And so she did. We checked her. She did have a trapped emotion, and it was grief, it wasn't grief. It was something of sadness, I think, about her dad being gone so much. And we cleared that out. And about a week later, this woman came back in, and she said, you know what? She said, that really worked. She said, my husband came home, and our little girl ran and jumped into his arms. And so there are things that happen to us when we have these trapped emotions. It affects how we feel. It affects how we see the world, and it affects how we respond to things. And, of course, they also cause a lot of physical trouble. And sometimes we don't even remember when the emotion occurred. There was a really interesting story that happened a number of years ago. I was in Las Vegas doing a workshop about this. There was a young woman who came up out of the audience, and I asked her if she had any kind of physical issues or any other issues, mental depression, anything like that. She said no. And I checked her to see if she had a trapped emotion, and she did. And we traced it back. The emotion was forlorn, you know, to feel kind of sad and lonely and hopeless. And we traced it back to when she was 1 year old.
That far back?
That far back. And I asked her if she had any idea what that was about, and she said no. And at that moment, I looked out at the audience, and she had arrived with her mother, and her mother is as white as a sheet. And so I said, listen, do you know anything about what this could be about? And she was very embarrassed, but she said that she thought maybe she did. She said that back then she used to use cloth diapers, and one day she accidentally pinned her daughter to the diaper. And her daughter stayed pinned to the diaper until she changed her the next time, which I think gives us a pretty clear picture of how overwhelmed her mother must have been. And so that feeling of forlorn, you know, being pinned to her diaper and not being able to get help, that created a trapped emotion in this little girl. And we released that trapped emotion, which, again, just took a few seconds, and she went back and sat down. And I didn't think anything else about it. I kind of forgot about it, actually. And about a week later, I get an email from this girl's mother, and she said, my daughter did not tell you when she came up there, but she has had a problem with her gait, with her knee and her hip on one side. And it's been going on since about 8 years old. It's been getting worse and worse. And we haven't really known what to do about it, but she doesn't make a big deal about it. She just lives with it. But she said, the moment you release that trapped emotion of forlorn from her, that pain has been instantly gone. And she said, not only that, but she feels this new feeling of freedom and lightness and joy that she's never felt before, and she's telling everybody about this. So you see, you can have these things from experiences that you go through that you have no conscious memory of. And what's so powerful about the emotion code is that we directly access the subconscious mind to get the information out. And that's why this works so well, because we don't have to rely on people's memories. I mean, people's memories are so fallible. Think about it. I mean, if I ask you, for example, George, what you had for dinner last Wednesday.
I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. That's how much the conscious mind remembers.
Other than I would say not much, because I've been dieting for 3 months.
Okay.
But now, tell me about the subconscious mind, though, and how you tap into it and within 60 seconds or less really learn people how to get into that.
Okay. Well, people who are listening in, you can actually follow us on this, and here's what I'm going to show you. The first method that we teach of how to trap in or to tap into the subconscious mind is what I like to call the sway test. Now, let me explain to you, first of all, how this works. The human body has a tendency to sway forward toward thoughts of truth and congruency and positivity, and it will tend to sway backwards, away from thoughts of negativity and falsehood and incongruency. So it's the same thing as if you take a plant in a pot and you put it near a window, and you come back maybe a few weeks later, you'll notice the plant is growing towards the light coming in from the window. That's a positive input. The plant wants that. Well, in the same way, our subconscious mind wants things that are true and that are congruent. And our subconscious mind will recoil away from things that are negative and incongruent and false.